Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, February 2nd. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we are on page XXXII, 1 and 2, beginning with However He Did Become Sold and ending with William D. Silkworth. William D. Silkworth, M.D. Today's readers are Letty G. for the 12 Steps, Lois P. for the 12 Traditions, Cheryl S. will read and comment on our share, Kathy B. will close with page 164, and Julie E.B. is here for backup. The OA Preamble. Oops. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 21094. 21094. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, is 21096. That's 21096. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Letty G. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Letty G., recovered compulsive overeater in Las Vegas, Nevada, and beautiful Friday. Anyways, these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of characters. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 8, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much for your service, and thank you so much for this beautiful meeting that I get every morning. And I pass.
Thank you, Letty G. And Lois P., will you please read the 12 traditions of OA for us?
Yes, good morning, Elaine, and thank you. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you and good morning to everyone.
Thank you so much, Lois P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page XXXII, finishing off the doctor's opinion with paragraphs 1 and 2, starting with however he became sold and ending with Dr. William Silkworth. I will now ask Cheryl S. to please begin reading.
Good morning. This is Cheryl S. in Nevada, gratefully recovering in my pajamas this morning. However, he did become sold on the ideas contained in this book. He has not had a drink for a great many years. I see him now and then, and he's a fine specimen. He is as fine a specimen of manhood as one could wish to meet. I earnestly advise every alcoholic to read this book through, and though perhaps he came to scoff, he may remain to pray. William D. Silkworth, M.D. And what this paragraph brings to mind for me this morning is miracles. I'm experiencing some miracles as I read this today. And there's a fellow in OA who has a habit of saying, is it God or is it odd? And for me, these are a couple of things this morning that are God. So I met a fellow through reading the through the vision meeting. She called me. She lives on the other side of the country. And she said, I just felt compelled this morning. I heard you share, and I wanted to call and ask you if you'd like to read the Big Book with me. And she wasn't asking to sponsor me. She just wanted to read the Big Book. And I said, yeah, that sounds good. So we meet every Friday morning, 6:30 a.m. my time, 9:30 a.m. her time, and we read the Big Book together for 30 minutes, or 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. And this morning, we started the doctor's opinion, and now I'm finishing the doctor's opinion. That, I think, is miracle number one. The next thing is the two people that spoke before me today, I have known more than just hearing their names on this this meeting. You know, through the meeting, we have connected on a deeper level. And here they are this morning. We all get to do service together on this meeting, unbeknownst to us. I was thinking about the fact that when the first letter in the doctor's opinion was written, it was 1934, and now it's 2024. So for 90 years, we've been we've had this this book. We've had to be able to go to the source. And I was taught by a sponsor that I am to highlight in different colors in the book. I highlight promises in green, instructions in yellow, and warnings in pink. And in these two paragraphs, there is a promise, and the promise is that first paragraph. And in the paragraph before this, the warning, they thought that this man was hopeless. And by following the instructions in this book, he is as fine of a specimen of manhood as one could wish to meet. That is a miracle. And then the last paragraph is an instruction for me. I earnestly advise every alcoholic to read this book through. And though perhaps he came to scoff, he may remain to pray. And that's what we do. We read this book. We follow this book. We read it in all different ways. We read it with fellows. We read it with, thank you, through the steps and the traditions. And I am so grateful. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Cheryl S. Although we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you would like to share on page XXXII, paragraphs 1 and 2, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Kathy B.
I heard Pearl. Kathy B. And was that Vanessa?
Yes.
What's the first initial of your last name?
G.
Okay. And Pearl?
R.
Did I hear you, Pearl? Pearl R? Okay.
Yeah.
Becca R.
I'm sorry, I heard Becca R. And a gentleman, who was that?
Rob H.
Rob H. Let me tell you who I have so far in case I missed anybody. I have Kathy B., Vanessa G., sure. Pearl R., Rob H., Becca R., and was there somebody else who wanted to get on the lineup?
Sherry M.
Sherry M.?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a great lineup. Okay, Kathy B., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Vanessa G., and if you're not either of those, please mute your star one to mute your phone. Thank you. Thanks, Kathy. Please go ahead.
Okay, good morning. My name is Kathy B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Oklahoma. And thank you, everybody on the line, and for that beautiful opening share. I just want to share that 3 years ago, this coming March, I came into OA looking for a way that I could lose the weight. I had tried everything I knew to try, but nothing worked for me. I felt hopeless, and my life was pretty much a mess. I heard so much hope in the meetings, and I wanted what the happy people had. So I did what they did. And I got a sponsor. I put the food down. I worked the steps. And I am so grateful to say that I found the solution to my problem, a power greater than myself, who I call God. He does for me what I cannot do for myself. I have lost the weight. I also have neutrality around the food, and my mind is free from that obsession of that constant next diet. How am I going to lose the weight? What am I going to do? How am I going to put the food down? But even more than those miracles, I have several restored relationships in my family. I am very happy today. Life does still happen. You know, there's things that I am powerless over, but I am grateful to God and to this 12-step program. I am 100% sold on the ideas contained in the big book. But I want to mention the last little sentence, the little paragraph that we're talking about today. It is very important, as it is Dr. Silkworth, the famous doctor who specialized in and treated thousands of hopeless alcoholics. It is his last statement in his letter to the alcoholic in the chapter, The Doctor's Opinion. And I want to point out a few words in this sentence. The word earnestly means with sincere and intense conviction. So Dr. Silkworth earnestly, with sincere and intense conviction, advises every alcoholic, not just a few select, but all alcoholics, all compulsive overeaters without exception, to read this book through. And through means from front to back, not skipping around, taking what you want and leaving what you don't want, but reading the whole thing. And though perhaps he came to scoff, and that word scoff to me means the, thinking negatively because of my prejudices, my old ideas, my closed-mindedness, that Dr. Silkworth says he may remain to pray. So Dr. Silkworth knew that real alcohol. Okay, he knew real alcoholics and compulsive overeaters were doomed. And he knew the answer, and he advises prayer because he knows prayer and the program works. I pass. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you very much, Kathy B. Vanessa G., you're up next, followed by Pearl R.
Hi, everyone. My name is Vanessa G. I'm recovered in New Mexico from the torture of compulsive overeating today. My very first OA meeting was many years ago. I was 27 years old, and I think it was 1986, and near the end. And I walked into a meeting at the invitation of a friend at work and sat through it, and I left pretty scoffy, if that's such a word. I'm definitely looking down on you all. I thought, oh my gosh, these people are, you know, emotionally unstable. I'm not. I just haven't, you know, really put my mind to a diet. And I don't think I consciously heard anything about a higher power or God in that meeting or reacted to it. I remember doing that. But, you know, 10 years before I got to that meeting, I had made a conscious decision not to believe in God. It just didn't, you know, the whole concept just didn't make sense to me. And so I rejected it totally. Anyway, I walked out of there and I went on a diet, 500 calories a day of liquid protein, lost my weight, and got really in a lot of trouble, a lot of desperation, and very near death from another addiction. And so I came back into the rooms and found God, you know, found the ability to pray. It took me a little while. And at first, I just didn't believe that there was anything there. But, you know, the first prayer I ever said, you know, God, please help me get in there, worked. And from that, you know, things grew. But I had never addressed my compulsive overeating. And so slowly over the years, it just progressed itself and kept getting worse. And by the time, you know, a couple of years ago, I was dying of obesity. And it's all of those years of trying and coming to OA. I came back to OA almost immediately after recovering in that other program. And would get a few years here and there, maybe a few weeks, maybe a few days. At the end, they were all really sort of going away. And I lost my connection with my higher power. You know, when I started, right after doing the steps the first time, my constant thought always was, thy will be done, thy will be done, every time I went through something in the day. And
that's
just
a reminder.
Thank you. I lost my faith. Coming back here, and or coming here to this vision meeting, I found God again and started praying again and going through the steps again. And I can't tell you guys how much I appreciate that and how much gratitude I have for it. Thank you so much for letting me share, and I Sorry, I went over time.
Thank you, Vanessa G. Pearl R., you're up next, followed by Rob H.
I am very grateful for this statement about though he scoff, he may stay to pray, because I just want to thank Jesus for bringing a beautiful sponsor into my life that was patient, loving, and kind. Because in this disease, my mind was sick and dysfunctional. And not only my mind, but the mind of others that I knew had laughed about such things as the recovery or anything healthy because of the dysfunctional diseased mind that this addictions bring. They totally putrefy the mind. But I'm grateful because of the patience, the love, and the perseverance of those who are following the 12 steps program, because I would be dead right now if it wasn't for people and their patience, because there was a lot of stuff I did not understand. And to me, it was foreign and funny and strange. And I had to learn a whole new way of thinking, a whole new way of acting, a whole new way of being in my life. And thankfully for the transformation and for the awakening of the 12 steps, and for somebody who didn't just give up on me and say, well, I guess you don't want it because you're laughing or you don't get it, or you know, thankfully they were patient with me, because I would be dead today if it wasn't for people that had patience. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pearl R. Okay, we have Rob H. up next, followed by Becca R.
Thank you. Rob H., recovered compulsive overeater, upstate New York. A lot of great shares. I really appreciate everybody on the line. I appreciate the reading. And my question was, you know, well, for myself, you know, when I read this, was, you know, how did I become sold on the ideas in this book? And I think for me, I had to find out that there were meetings of OA, because believe it or not, there's a lot of people in this world that don't even know OA exists, have no idea that OA is out there. So, you know, I had to find that out, and then I had to find a meeting, and I had to find a person in the meeting that I could connect with and talk to. And eventually that person became my sponsor, and I had to work through the steps with them. And then the weight came off, you know. I've been in since 2019, but, somebody yesterday, just out of the blue, you know, they said, oh, your belly is flat. Why would you be in Overeaters Anonymous? Well, you know, I didn't always used to be. I wasn't always this way. And I like that remain to pray too. For me, I do pray, but I also look at prayer as asking for help. And for me, sometimes that takes the form of outreach calls, and just talking to other people. And, I get a lot of help from other people. And that was a big part of this for me, too, is calling other people and talking to them and getting help that I needed. Because I needed help since the day I was born. And, sometimes when I didn't get help that I needed, to the food. And the food was some type of help, I guess, for me in those days, so I could be grateful for it. But these days, I don't need to use food to help me with anything except what it's meant to be, is, you know, fuel for my body. So with that, I pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Rob H. Okay, Becca R. is up next, and she'll be followed by Sherry M. And then we'll take another lineup. We're commenting on page XXX. II, paragraph 1 and 2, excuse me, finishing off the doctor's opinion. However, he did become sold, and ending with William PhD, Silkworth MD. So, Becca R., will you please share with us?
Hi, thanks. I'm Becca R. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling in from Kentucky. And this is such a packed statement. I think the part I wanted to comment is that I remain to pray. When I came in here, I was given the gift of desperation. I used to say the stars lined up, my willingness, my desperation, enabled me to come all the way in and sit all the way down and do all of the program. And I was done trying to do any part of it myself. And I became abstinent, and I worked the steps, and I got recovered. But I think about the daily reprieve I have, and that it's still the maintenance on that spiritual condition. And so when I read that statement, he may remain to pray, I think about that is the key for me, to be open, to stay in the flow of my recovery. I've had some other experiences in my past where I worked really, really hard on my recovery, got abstinent, lost the weight, and then put my feet up and put my hands behind my back just in this state of, like, I've done this all of the work. Now I'm going to just sit back and relax. And that black and white thinking, right? So I'm really grateful to know that it's not like that. I don't get to work really hard and then put my feet up. I did work really hard to get through the steps and to have the spiritual awakening. And it might not make sense to those of you who aren't recovered, but it is a point of relaxation to be recovered and to have everything just come so easily. I have a friend who says it's like brushing your teeth, the meetings, the prayer, the talking, the connection. All of it, it's like brushing my teeth. It just comes very natural now. It doesn't feel like work. And it's in doing that that I receive so much. And I think the most important thing is it's in doing that that keeps me open to be teachable and to be open for what my higher power might have for me to work on next. Good to be here. And I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Becca R. Sherry M., you're up next. Please share with us.
Hey, thanks so much, Elaine, for leading the meeting. My name is Sherry M., and I am gratefully recovered today in Wyoming. Happy February, everyone. You know, what's really standing out to me is the last paragraph. It's telling, it's almost like, it's okay, you know, just, you know, read this book through, okay, it's an instruction, and then it's like, though, perhaps, it's so gentle, like, even though you're going to scoff, because I don't know anybody who's come into 12-step rooms, and especially Overeaters Anonymous, who hasn't scoffed at some point. It says that he may remain to pray, comma. And what this is telling me, and I don't know why today, and this is why I keep reading the book through and through, and I read it with sponsees, and I read it with my sponsor, and I read it with you guys, and I try to get new big books all the time to have a brand new experience with it so I can see new things and hear what I need to hear and see what I need to see, which is different because I've never lived today before. So today's a brand new day with brand new eyes. But what I'm seeing here is the power of prayer. And to me, it's saying, like, it's okay, like, have contempt, right? Like I wrote in my book, like, scoff means to speak about someone or something in a very, like, contemptuous way, like mocking, ridicule. That was me with the God work. That was Bill with anything having to do with religion. That was, you know, what do these people have in these rooms? They're all holding hands. Oh, you know, but it's only the nature of my malady, right? Once I know that I'm going to die, I have no other choice. This is the last house on the block. Then my mind kind of opens so that, like, praying is going to be more powerful than scoffing. And it's okay, like, you can scoff your way into recovery as long as we remain willing and open-minded. And maybe there's somebody on the call right now, you know, it's early in the morning. Anybody, you know, who's new and not identifying, somebody may be, you know, eating multiple bags or boxes or donuts or who knows what. But I relate to that. And so I want to say welcome. If you're behind the scenes and you're scoffing, that's okay. You can be here too and you can recover. Like we can all recover and it happens to us, but not by me. And I just have to be willing, just a little bit willing. Like if you're on the call, you're willing. That is like an admission that I need help. And that's really what it takes. Is me saying, I can't do it on my own. I'm sold. I am sold that everything else has not worked. I have all my methods listed. They didn't work, but this has worked. And it continues to work. And I am a different person, and I continue to change on a daily basis. And that's all I wanted to share today. I hope everyone has a wonderful weekend, and God bless you all.
Thank you so much, Sherry M. Although we value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment on page XXXII, paragraph 1 and 2, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your first name and last initial.
Barbara E.
I'm sorry, I didn't get anybody. Try this again.
Jeannie
N. And Barbara G.
Barbara Jody E.
Erica Barbara P. E. and Jody E. And was there an Anna? No.
Erica T.
Erica T. And maybe one more.
Stephanie
Robin
T.
Joe B.
I heard Stephanie, someone, and Robin Joe B. We'll see what we can do about fitting everybody in. Stephanie, what was the first initial of your last name?
SS and Sam.
Okay, great. Well, this is what we have. Janine, I think it was, and you can correct me. You'll be the first up, followed by Barbara E., Jody A., Erica T., and then we'll see where we are with time with Stephanie S. and Robin Jo B. So please share with us, is it Janine or Jeannie?
Jeannie N.
Please share with us, Jeannie N.
Sure. Jeannie N. recovered from New Jersey. This too reminded me of a miracle that happened to me about a week and a half ago. I woke up very restless, irritable, and discontent. And at first didn't know what was the matter, and it just kept getting worse. And, you know, I could have went right to my higher power. I could have made a phone call. I didn't think of that, you know. I just didn't think of that. But as it got worse, I was realizing that that the mental twist was there. I had had a diagnosis that I had to start eating many, many meals a day, small meals. And I had talked it over with my sponsor and many others, and I was doing my best, but it was really making me crazy. And I didn't, I, you know, it's one thing to hear from a sponsee that they're into the food, and, but like this really made my memory green. Like it was, I could remember years ago this, going through this, but like it wasn't like it happening again like it happened this day. Anyway, I did everything. I did everything I could do. You know, I made phone calls. I talked to my sponsor a couple times. I went on Group Me. I just, you know, but it just kept going on and on and on. And the craving was getting worse. I wanted more food. I didn't want it. Excuse me? It's time.
Please continue. No, please continue. She's got another minute.
Yeah. Okay. So I just, you know, I really had the food up to my mouth, and I thought, well, this is it. I'm gonna break it. I'm gonna break my abstinence. But I went to God. I went to my higher power. Took those first three steps, a couple times over and over, and it subsided. It subsided because my neutrality was gone. Everything was, oh my gosh. I cannot believe what a miracle God can do for me what I can never do for myself. You know, and I learned two lessons from that. Go to God right away, do a 10-step, and it helped me to have more compassion for those that are suffering. Not that I didn't have it before, but this was a better, better lesson. Some of you have heard my story before, and I'm sorry, but I had to share it. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for your service.
Thank you so much, Jody E. Barbara E., you're up next, followed by Jody A.
Oh, good morning or good afternoon, wherever you live. This is Barbara E. in New Jersey, a volume compulsive overeater. I love the doctor's opinion. I like that word at the top of the page, sold, because I was sold on all the frothy emotional appeal. You know, the diets, the liquid supplements, the pills, the shots, but nothing worked. My overeating had me by the throat. I didn't know what to do about it. So when I walked into OA, I really crawled into OA. I didn't even know what it was all about, but I was desperate. As someone earlier shared, house on the block. Now, in the doctor's opinion, it talks about putting down the alcohol. For me, food, it's mentioned 3 times. But no power, no sponsor, no group, no fellowship seemed to be able to do it for me. I absolutely had to trust that even though prayer is not logical for me, Barbara E. in New Jersey, it works. Where rational intelligence fails, I put my faith in a source of help that's beyond my understanding. Have to understand it. All I know is I can have a spiritual awakening, but as I heard so eloquently shared before, my spiritual awakening can go back to sleep again, and then I pay for it. A sliver becomes a slice, becomes a slab, becomes a slob. I put my feet up and say, I've got it licked now. I'm cured. But no, unfortunately, for me at least, I'm never cured. I'll always have this disease, but I don't have to die for it. I can let this disease define me, destroy me, or make me stronger. And that I know that I have to pay the price for the things I do in this life. And whether I pay for it now or later, I have to get it over with. And later always seems worse. So I pray that doing it the easier way for me is taking the spiritual path that I didn't think I believed in, thank goodness for Appendix 2, and know that I can have a power that's greater than me, that's greater than my refrigerator, that's greater than my pantry, that's beyond my understanding. But if I commit to it every day and say, God, please come to me today. Help me walk a straighter path today. If I do, I can put my head on the bed, the pillow at night, and say, thank you, God. Thank you so much, and thank you for your gracious service. I pass.
Thank you very much, Barbara E. Okay, up next we have Jody A., followed by Erica T.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Elaine, and everyone for your service. This is Jody E. in California. It was someone else who shared a couple of shares before. So, yes, the ideas contained in this book have sold me from the very first time I ever picked it up, which was in 1988. There's something about this book, right, that grabbed me and that grabs many of us. Many of us say that it was divinely inspired. I agree. So we do, many of us believe in something greater than ourselves. We don't necessarily name it. Some of us do. Some of us think of it as something very mysterious. It's different for everyone. We get to choose our own conception of this higher power We don't have to even call it God if we don't want to, but we may if we want to. That's the beauty of this 12-step program, is there's no right way to conceive of a higher power. It's up to us. And indeed, did I scoff? I don't think I ever did. From my very first meeting, I knew I was home. There was an intuition. There was a knowing that I needed this program and that the 12 steps were what I needed. Not only to solve my food problem, though that was real and huge, but also all my life problems, all my living problems. And the ideas contained in this book get me there to a solution to my food problem, which is the foundation for solving my other problems. Because when I'm in the food, my problems become astonishingly difficult to solve. I'm very grateful for this chapter, or this doctor's opinion by William Silkworth and Bill Wilson and others. It really does tell it like it is. And I have remained to pray. And that's me. Maybe not you, but it is me. I do pray and I do ask my higher power to continue to guide me, to sustain me as I do my best to do what I think he would have me do and to be what I think he would have me be. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Jody E. Erica T., you're up next, and you'll be followed. Yes, you'll be followed by Stephanie S. Please share with us, Erica.
Hi, I'm Erica T., a compulsive overeater, and I'm calling from Oklahoma. For someone who has not yet recovered, these two paragraphs offer me a lot. First, it gives me the image of someone who is just as hopeless as me. And it shows that despite the struggle and the hopelessness, this man is now free. Not only is he free from an agonizing bondage, but he is, as Silkworth says, a fine specimen. He's the type of person that non-addicts look up to, and that is a miracle. Second, this paragraph gives me a place to land. Silkworth knows alcoholics, and he knows me. He knew that I came and I saw, and I was skeptical, a non-believer. But today I see the miracle in others, and I feel God speaking to me more and more every day. And for that, I'm very grateful. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Erica T. Okay, Stephanie S., you are up next. Please share with us.
Good morning. I'm Stephanie S. from Washington State, and these two paragraphs are comforting to me. It reminds me of how I felt about coming here just last May and June when I came to Vision. I was looking for a formula. I was looking for I don't know what I was at the bottom and I needed help. And I pray a lot, like I've been doing that for years. But and so when I understood that there was a solution that required prayer, I have to admit in my heart I kind of scoffed at it, like, oh no, are you kidding? I don't want the solution to this desperate food obsession to be about praying. I want it to be like more about a food plan and other things. So I was scoffing in my heart. I don't know if I talked to people, but I did stay and I came back, and I'm very, very grateful because I've been able to work the 12 steps with my sponsor that I got in October, and I've been able to remain abstinent, which is, and then I'm on the path to recovery. I feel very thankful for that. So anyway, I just wanted to share and hope everybody has a great weekend. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Robin Joby, you will be our final share for today. Please share with us.
Thank you so much, Elaine B. So Robin Joby in recovery, recovered, not cured. And, you know, for God's glory, you know, and by His grace alone. And that is just amazing. I am on the road. I could share for an hour about just today, but 14 years ago was my first OA meeting. I drove 85 miles to get to it, 85 miles one way. I learned two big things that I'll never forget. I'm not bad, needing to get good. I'm sick, needing to get well. And then also that it is absolutely none of my business what other people think of me. And those two things have helped me so much. Over these 14 years, it's just been incredible what all God has got me through, and that I have been in a normal size through it all. It's just nothing but a miracle. Today also is the first anniversary of my father's passing, and a year ago today I was at his bedside watching him die, and I'm on the road now to drive 2 hours to his graveside. But you know, I can't even imagine doing any of this last years without program. I did have God. I did have my faith. But the thing was, I thought I had so much guilt because I was a Christian. I had so much guilt for abusing my body so terribly with the binging and purging and just complete the exercise and purging, vomiting of my disease. I was so ashamed of it and thought surely that God, my higher power, was angry with me for that. And learning that that's not what he didn't expect me to do this alone. In fact, he didn't even want me to. And that I needed him and that he was there for me. And just that right there, that was so incredibly healing and freeing for me to understand that my higher power loves me and wants to help me. And I could go on and on, but I'm going to pass because I'm sure my time's up. And I love you all, and God bless. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Robin Joby. Great shares, everybody. Okay, we'll now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Kathy B. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, this is Kathy B., a recovered compulsive overeater, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.